On returning home to Salzburg, the family were greeted like heroes. Leopold and his wife, Anna Maria, immediately began planning an extended tour of Europe. The Grand Tour. Which brings us to the tour. The Grand Tour, the grandmother of all tours, the Super Bowl halftime show, big kahuna, mega molto, if it's Tuesday, it must be Trenton Tour. The tour that made the Mozart legend, the tour that spawned stories and myths we're still sorting through more than 200 years later, the tour that made Mozart the child wonder by which we measure prodigies to this day, a tour that changed forever the history of Western music. On June 9, 1763, the Mozart family, Leopold, Anna Maria, Marianne, and Wolfgang left Salzburg. They would be away for 3 years, 5 months, and 20 days. They stopped and performed in 88 different towns and cities. I offer for your edification a partial list of these burgs in the order in which they were visited. Munich, Augsburg, Schwetzingen, Heidelberg, Mainz, Frankfurt, Koblenz, Brussels, Paris, Calais, Dover, London, oh, London. They stayed in London for over 15 months. Dunkirk, Lille, Ghent, The Hague, or as the Dutch call it, Den Haag, Amsterdam, Utrecht, Rotterdam, Antwerp, Brussels again, Paris again, Dijon, Lyon, Geneva, Lausanne, Bern, Zurich, Winterthur, Schaffhausen, Donaueschingen, and Ulm. Well, you want to talk about your frequent flyer miles. The family arrived back in Salzburg on November 30th, 1766. They had performed for literally thousands of people. According to Maynard Solomon, Leopold Mozart left home a musician of good, even noteworthy reputation. By the time the family returned to Salzburg, he was a figure of great renown. He and his children had written a new chapter in the history of music and were celebrated throughout Europe beyond all expectation. For decades thereafter, those who had witnessed Mozart's performances recalled them as astonishing feats of virtuosity. As late as 1830, Goethe still spoke of having heard Mozart vividly remembering the, quote, little man with his wig and his sword, unquote. The image of the child Mozart had permanently entered the folklore of Western civilization. As the Mozart's trip progressed, unbelievable stories of prodigious musicality preceded them, only to be confirmed once they had arrived in a city and performed there. They were a sensation, a traveling musical circus, instant celebrities. They were acclaimed by everybody that heard them, from royalty to the middle class. At Versailles, the Mozart children were showered with expensive gifts. According to Leopold, King Louis XV's daughters not only allowed the Mozart children, quote, to kiss their hands, but kissed them innumerable times in return, unquote. On New Year's Eve, again to quote Leopold, Wolfgang was graciously privileged to stand beside the queen the whole time, to talk constantly to her, entertain her, and kiss her hands repeatedly, besides partaking of the dishes which she handed him from the table, unquote. We can see it now. Mozart, tiny, blonde, adorable, was nothing less than a pet of royalty, a role he adored. Here, Mozart, here, boy, here's another yummy treat from the table. This sort of thing, if experienced over and over again, could very well twist someone's sense of reality, don't you think? I think so. Look, the hospitality at Versailles was great, but it paled in comparison to the reception the Mozart family received when it arrived in London in April of 1764, 10 months into the Grand Tour. From the king and queen to the general public, London audiences adored the Mozarts, particularly little Wolfgang. A typical announcement for a London performance reads as follows, and I quote,